Welcome. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And I have been thinking a lot about so many of the issues we talk about on this show, work-life balance, but also parenting in particular and how we manage that with our careers. I got a wonderful note yesterday from a woman that I have worked with and coached, and she said to me, you know, I have this voice in my head, which is yours, and it's on repeat. And she said, I have to say, I just don't, you know, exactly want to go back to my job. I had a baby 7 weeks ago. It's my third child. And I really am not thrilled with my work. I'm just not excited about going back. But I have your voice in my head saying, go back and find a new job once you get there, because I know how hard it is to go back once you have a lapse. And it's so true. We talk about this a lot on this show. And I just really want to implore all of you who are listening, when you have those big gaps in time, when you take off 2 years to be a parent or even more than 70% of women who want to go back to work after having a child cannot find work. More than 70%. So it's really, really hard for people to digest those lapses. There are so many reasons for this, of course, but one of them is that, you know, it's very difficult to see you as fully employable because they think, well, what if she comes back and realizes she misses her baby, right? Or they start doubting you. And so I coach a lot of women, and you've heard me on the show talk through, you know, this situation with women who don't know what to do once they're off. They've already made the mistake of taking all this time off, and now they want to get back. And there are some tricks, and you guys have heard me say that when you are job interviewing, you have to take any concerns off the table for the other person. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said that he spends one fourth of his time thinking about what he's going to say and three quarters of his time thinking about what people want to hear. And in a job interview, that's never more true, right? So they want to hear you're a really, really hard worker, that you're passionate about working. So if you can take that concern off the table, then that you sort of won half the battle, right? That is so, so critical because you are basically making it so that there's no question in hiring you. You don't want to have to make it hard for you to sell yourself, right? For them to sell you internally, for you to sell yourself. And one of the ways you can do that is to say, I'm the hardest worker you know. You'll never have to worry about a thing. So on the parenting front, we have had such a tricky week. My daughter woke up on Saturday. It was her 10th birthday party. And so I had 20 kids coming. And suddenly she said, I can't swallow. My throat is in terrible, terrible pain. And I called the doctor in a panic. And I have befriended this doctor. I invited him over for the holidays. He is now a dear friend of ours. And he was on the way to a hike when I called him on his cell phone. And he stopped at our house and gave my daughter some miracle medicine. And he said to her, this is what I would give Sheryl Crow if she was performing for 10,000 people today. So you should be fine. And by some miracle, she really was fine. And it made it so that, you know, it was one of those times where I thought, gosh, this is like a critical part of my team is this pediatrician. And everyone has to be focused on how they can make those parts of their team, those relationships, as tight as possible. Now, that team extends to the handyman who might help you if something breaks in your home, or the plumber. Some of you might have heard the story a couple years ago when I was out on a Saturday night with my husband on a date, and it was one of our first date nights in forever, and the babysitter called and said, there's a pipe that has just burst under the sink. What do I do? And she said, I can't control it. I've done everything and there's water everywhere. So from dinner, I called the plumber, and it was a Saturday night at 8 o'clock at night. And we raced home, which was 20 minutes from the restaurant. And the plumber was there before I was, and he fixed it within minutes. And I thought, gosh, thank God I had that plumber on speed dial before the crisis happened, because otherwise it would have been a complete disaster. And so you have to always think, let's have my team in place before the emergency arises. And so one of the ways that you're making a safe and happy home and a and a place that is comfortable. And, you know, one of the things your job is, as a parent, one of your focuses has to be safety for your kids. That's your number one role, is stability and safety. And so the more you can have that team in place, whether it's a doctor or a handyman or a plumber, the safer and easier your life will be. Now, especially as a working parent, it is so critical as a working parent that you are always, you know, able to make things as efficient as possible, because there are so many messy, messy moments in our life. But if you can make sure that you are keeping it as, you know, as unmessy as possible, then you have sort of launched your kids off to the greatest chance for smooth sailing. So there's going to be those messy moments, but the more prepared you are to handle them by having this team in place, the better off you are. And so anyway, so what happened was my daughter ended up somehow recovering. God knows what this doctor gave her. She ended up feeling great. He also put her on an antibiotic right away just in case. So we did that, and she got to her party, and she was feeling fine, and she said it was the best birthday of her life. And then all weekend I had her take it easy, and she went to school on Monday. So it was a little bit of a miracle, but it would never have happened if I hadn't had this tight relationship with this doctor. And so I implore you all to think carefully about who you choose as your family doctor, and then befriend them, right? Do the same with everyone else in your life, from the handyman to the plumber. You need those people. Now, we get a lot of calls on this show about how to handle, you know, my kid's never been with a sitter, or my nanny just quit and I don't know what to do to get my kid comfortable. Now, from birth, the more adults your child is comfortable with, the better off they are. The more resilient your child is, and the easier it is to have a real life. And so there's no badge of honor that you're going to get from saying my kid has never been with a babysitter. That's actually a really bad thing, okay? So we are not meant to be with our children 24/7. In fact, if you look at how it used to be that a village raised our children literally. And so we are not meant to be one-on-one, uber-focused on our kids to the expense of not having any other life outside of them. That is the fastest way to create an anxious and unhealthy child. So it's so critical that we are always, always thinking about how to expose our kids to other adults, how to make sure that they are feeling connected. The more adults in your life that love your child, the better off we are. Right now I have our first caller on the line. Jacob, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how can I help you today, Jacob?
I talked to you last week.
Okay.
Yeah, you told me to call you back on Tuesday.
Can you refresh us as to what you called about last week?
Yeah, a long-distance relationship, long-distance...
Oh, yeah, so you were the last caller of the day last week, and just to refresh our listeners' memories, you had called because you've been in a long-distance relationship with someone for, I think it was, did you say it's been 8 years?
Oh, no, that was when I met her. But
okay.
It was a few years from now that we actually started to talk. But I was introduced to her back then.
Okay, and so I think one of the things I shared with you is that it's pretty implausible that this woman believes that you are in a real relationship with her, because you've never been intimate with her, right?
Well, like I said, we've hugged, we haven't kissed or anything like that, like what you would, you know, probably what you're trying to say. So what you're saying is that you think that she's fooling around with someone else on the side, or?
Not at all, but Jacob, you are an adult, and adults typically don't have relationships for a long time where there's no physical connection. And so it's unlikely that she is not needing a physical connection with you. So she might just interpret your relationship as friendship.
Well, we know each other and we have a solid friendship, but you know what? I broke up with her anyway now. So
Since we talked, you broke up with her.
yeah.
Why did you do that?
Well, it was personal reasons, but the question more was how do you close that gap between the ocean, you know? You know, we do communicate, but the thing is, we're still friends, and it's more likely to stay friends if we don't, you know, get intimate and then break up, and
Okay,
then it hurts
Jacob, we're out of
everybody.
time. I'm going to keep you on for one more minute after the break. Please stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Jacob after the break.
There's no room, no space to rent in this town.
When I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound, we fell in love as the leaves turn brown.
Hello and welcome back. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. Right now, I still have Jacob on the line. Jacob, so I understand you now broke up with this long-distance relationship. What's your
Yeah.
question?
How do you deal with such miles between people like that? We really strong friends, and even the family, the communication is open even more now since then. But closing that gap without traveling, I mean, without face to face, it's hard, but who knows, we could pick it up again, you never know, but it's just a tested relationship right now. Tested friendship. It's really strong friendship.
Okay, so why are we're still living in the past lane, right? You finally said goodbye to this relationship, and now you're still asking how you can bridge the gap between miles. But Jacob, one of the
That
things we
was a
discussed,
question last week.
okay, one of the things we discussed last time is that you're in your 40s and you've never had a long-term relationship with a woman. And I won't count this one because it was long distance and you'd never even kissed her over the course of years.
Yeah, that's true.
So what are we going to do to get you some experience in this department? How are we going to make it so that you have a real healthy relationship as an adult man?
Well, I definitely had experience as a teen, so I know, but I kind of left that kind of life behind, you know, wandering around.
So it sounds like you need to
What do you
search.
have to say?
So, Jacob, you need to search for some local love. Okay, how are you going to meet someone who's geographically desirable? Because it sounds like you're not in the market for a long distance relationship. You never really traveled to see this person, rarely, and you didn't even consummate your relationship once you did. So let's focus our energy on moving forward and finding you a relationship that's local so that you can get some experience under your belt.
Well, there's definitely a lot of people in this area. This is a big area. But yeah, that's 900 miles is quite a long way.
So, Jacob, what are you going to do to meet your next love?
Maybe church.
Church? Okay, that sounds wonderful. So, this weekend, when you go to church, I'm going to give you a job. I would
Okay.
like you to engage two women in a conversation, not at the same time, But if you can get, if you can get, you know, if you're engaged in a conversation with one woman and it's going well, stick with it. But if it's not, I'd like you to approach another one. And I would like you to practice asking someone out in person. So asking this woman, if you like her, to grab coffee with you at another point this week. Is that something you could do?
Have you ever heard of the book I Kissed Dating Goodbye?
I have not, no.
Yeah, it's a great book. So the way we have a different way of thinking, like at our church, in our community, is when you go on a date, it's more like you go together with people. And I don't mean like a double date, but you have accountability, but you show up with that person and it's specific for that person, together with them, but you have input with the others. It keeps things open and honest and clean. But yeah, I really have a dream of, you know, getting married.
Okay. So, Jacob, this is a numbers game. So we're going to really need you to step up your game in terms of, I would like to see you going on at least one date a week until we meet your next love, because you need some practice and you need to see what's out there. Jacob, thank you for calling. And we are going to take our next call now. And for
Thanks
those
for
of
your
you,
advice.
Thank you. For those of you listening, Jacob has now called twice. His last call was about this long-distance relationship. And it's very difficult to have a long-distance relationship if you never see the person and if you've never consummated that relationship. So it's really important that you think about what is a relationship and how is that fulfilling, right? Is that really fulfilling a need for you? If you're never seeing this person, you're not intimate with this person, you have to really ask yourself why you're in it and what that means. And is it just a label? Is it just something that's making you feel superficially secure, but there really is no intimacy? And we've talked a lot on this show about how important intimacy is. It's really difficult to have a successful marriage or relationship if you are not physically intimate. And there is no point in the world in being married to someone that you are not physically intimate with. You're better off having a roommate. That's not the way marriage is supposed to work. Your kids are watching your every move and they're absorbing what they see. And if you are in your home and you're not physically affectionate with your spouse and there's not a lot of love there, your child is picking up those messages and that's what they're learning is a normal relationship. And so the chances of them growing up and having a healthy relationship is not good. And so, unfortunately, our kids watch what we do more than they listen to what we say. And so when you know your kids are watching, right? Our kids are watching us 24 hours a day. Our kids are watching. So what's that movie that they're seeing at home? Is that a healthy movie? Is it a happy movie? If it's not, it might be time for you to change it. Right now I have Lauren on the line. Lauren, where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi. How can I help you today, Lauren?
Oh, well, you know, I was listening to what you were saying, and I really agree with the whole kids really pick up on the parent relationship thing. You know, my parents, they've been married for more than 20 years now, and, you know, growing up, I could always tell that they really love each other. I think that's helped me be able to pick out what's a healthy relationship, but I definitely have a problem with being too picky in that sense. And so I've been single for a really long time.
Okay, Lauren, I'd like to help you. I'm going to keep you on until the next segment. We'll be right back after the commercial break. Please stay tuned.
Then, but the queen has been overthrown, and I'm not sleeping now. The
Hello and welcome back. I am your host, Samantha Edis, and right now we have Lauren on the line. Lauren, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Lauren, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bentonville, Arkansas.
From Arkansas, and you are single, and you're calling about the fact that you're too picky and haven't met someone. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your life. How old are you?
I just turned 21.
Okay, you're super young, and so you have a whole lifetime ahead of you. You're still you've just officially entered adulthood, right? So yes. Tell us a little bit about your dating life.
You know what? I really have never just dated. I've had, you know, three serious relationships, like through high school and into my first couple of years of college. And that's about it. I don't really know how to date. And I think that's the problem.
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things when you're thinking about, you say you're picky, I think a lot of it has to do with being ready to meet someone. And
yeah.
And so what is the rest of your life like? What do you do every day?
Well, I go to school. I'm a theater major.
Okay.
And then I come home and I go to work for a little bit and then come back home and, you know, just chill out and do some homework, watch some TV. And that's really all I have time for.
Which sounds awesome. And that's what you should be doing. And what about your friendships? Are your friends coupled off?
A lot of them are, yeah. And okay. A lot of girls that I went to high school with and graduated with are already having babies and are engaged or married, and I kind of feel, I don't want to be at that point necessarily, but I do feel a little out of the loop because I don't have anyone that I could even consider to be that person for me yet.
Right. And also, you know, this is, I without preaching to you, I really do believe that this is the age where you want to be focused on living a full life. And so as soon as you have a baby, if you're 21, you've never launched your career. And it's really it's hard to launch a career after you've had a baby. So I think, you know, that the number one piece of advice I would give you is focus on launching your career first and then think about things like that, because you have your whole life ahead of you and you'll be a better parent and a better partner if you've already, you know, waited a number of years to start a family.
Mm-hmm.
So in
yeah,
terms of,
I agree with you.
You know, but it can be lonely to be uncoupled when the people around you are all coupled off.
Absolutely. I just went to New York City for my birthday, and I went with my best friend and her boyfriend. And the whole time, it kind of felt more like a week for them, and I was just tagging along rather than it being my trip that I invited them to go with me.
Yeah, that does not sound like a recipe for fun, because you were the third wheel before the trip even started, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's really no, it's a no-win situation for all of you. So I wouldn't recommend doing that again, but, you know, travel with your single friends. But in terms of,
absolutely.
In terms of meeting someone, you know, you've heard me probably say on the show before if you listened, I really believe that dating is a volume game. And so it's when we go on one date every, you know, 4 months, it's too much pressure on that one date. And so it's important to get out there and go out and meet as many people as possible. How are you meeting people?
I have that app, Tinder, but I never really use it. It was more just kind of a for fun thing. I meet people in my department all the time. Like, there's always someone new. Or at work even, but, you know, I feel like I should be, now that I'm 21, I could go out to bars and meet people, but I still don't feel like that's a really great way to meet boys.
No, I mean, and I think that work is a great place to meet people. And then the other thing is, one of the best suggestions I can give you is to say yes to things you don't normally say yes to. So if someone who you're kind of not that close with invites you to go to a party or an event, it's a wonderful thing to just say, yes, absolutely, to something that you wouldn't normally go to, because that's when you end up meeting people that are totally new, and that's where you really expand your network of friends and potential dates. So I think the more things you can say yes to, whether it's taking a class you've never taken before or doing something that's kind of random, the better off you are.
Absolutely.
And in terms of Tinder, I like the idea of you using a dating service just for the practice. So you could literally go on Tinder and just say, I'm going to go on one Tinder date a week just so I get my practice in. Because the more you date, the more dates you get asked out on. It's a weird thing, but it really is a volume game. And so the more practice you can get under your belt, the better off you are.
Yep, you know what, you're right.
So I really think that, you know, that's something I would encourage you to do. So I would encourage you to step up your game in both areas. But I would think of it less as you haven't met someone. You're only 21. And so it's just totally changing your mindset of thinking, I'm single right now and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yep, definitely.
So tell me a little bit about why you said you're picky.
You know, like I said, I have that Tinder app, and I'll be doing it with my friends, and we'll be laughing at me because I'll swipe no for so many people that, you know, that there's probably nothing really wrong with them. They just don't look the way that I, you know, have in my head that I want my person to look, or they don't, you know, they're not very outgoing. It doesn't seem like.
Now, one of the most important things you can do for yourself is to think of what characteristics are non-negotiables. And an app like Tinder makes it so that you're automatically a little more superficial, right? Because it's an app totally
Absolutely.
Based on how someone looks. So, but if I were to say to you, non-looks, what is the most important thing about the person you're going to meet? Tell me three characteristics.
I think you should be outgoing. I think you should be loyal and honest.
Outgoing, loyal, and honest. Okay, those sound like wonderful things. Now, can I add something to that?
Yes.
I hope you find a guy who doesn't want you to be pregnant at age 21. who believes in your career as much as you do. It's really almost the number one predictor of your success in the future will be who you're partnered with. I've never seen a woman reach their potential who isn't either single or has a really supportive partner by their side.
That's very true.
So that is definitely something that, you know, the mistake that it's easy to make in your 20s is to just think about someone's looks and not think about what do they expect of our relationship moving forward? Do they expect I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom and never have a career? Do they expect that they're going to do half the childcare and housework? These are the kinds of things you really do want to be thinking about long-term when it comes to getting into a relationship.
Yes.
So I would implore you to think about those things, and you can also share that attitude with your friends because it really will change their lives too.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for all your help today.
Well, thank you for calling, and please keep me posted on how it's going, Lauren.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, great. And for those of you listening, you know, I always say when I was single, I would say to people, set me up with anyone. And they would say, well, I don't know what your type is. And I would say, I don't have a type. My type is smart and confident. And the reason I would use those two words is because anyone who is smart is probably going to be someone that I could tolerate having drinks or dinner with, right? So all is not lost. If I get set up with someone that they think is cute and I don't, it's still going to be an interesting evening. And if they're confident, then they're going to be comfortable with me and my success too. But if you have someone who's insecure as your partner, it's very, very difficult to be happy and to thrive. And so it's really important that we think about those non-looks-based characteristics when we're looking for a partner, I hope our friend Jacob is still listening as well, and he can think a little bit about how he's going to be vetting his future his future mate as well. But it's so critical that you think, what are the non-negotiables? For some people, it's someone who's going to make them laugh. For some people, it's kindness. And I think kindness is a given. You always want to be with someone who's kind. If someone is with you and they're always making jokes about other people, they're probably going to be making jokes about you next. So it's really important that you think about someone with a kind heart and someone who stimulates you and makes you more curious about the world and engages you, someone that you can teach and they can teach you. Right now, we are going to go to a commercial break, and I just want to remind you that you can always reach me all week long on Facebook. We have a very vibrant 26,000-member Facebook community at facebook.com/Samantha Ettis. Please stay tuned. Samantha Ettis, and I am thrilled to be with you today. And you can always reach me all week long on Twitter at Samantha Ettis, or you can sign up for my free weekly newsletter at SamanthaEttis.com. It comes out every Thursday and it offers tips and advice, and it's supposed to be read in 5 minutes or less. So hopefully I will engage with you there. Right now I have our next caller on the line. Annie, are you there? Okay, we just lost Annie, and it's interesting. Today we have had two callers calling about their single social lives, and it's something that is, it becomes so critical to us to find that partner, right? And sometimes when we're single, we can become fixated on it. But time and time again, I can tell you that the more you are engaged with your life, whether that be with work, with hobbies, with friends, the more active you are, the more that you do, the more likely you are to meet that person. And if you smile more, if you're passionate about the things you're doing, you're going to end up meeting people in spades. And it's the same reason that you might see one of your friends and you think, gosh, why are they a magnet for people when I don't even think they're necessarily that beautiful, or whatever it is. We often will do that to each other, right? We're so tough on each other. But when you think about those people, I bet you they're engaged in the world. They're engaged in their life. They're passionate about whatever they're doing. We all want to be around people who are happy, who are smiling, who seem like they're having more fun than we are, right? Those are the people that attract friends and they attract potential partners. And so the more you throw yourself into enjoying your life and taking a class in something you've never done before, or, you know, taking on a new project or taking that trip, the more you'll see that your life changes and fast. And typically on this show, we have people who are calling about their work-life balance issues. And as many of you know, my next book is coming out in September. It's called The Pie Life: A Woman's Recipe for Success and Satisfaction. And the biggest message in the book is how you can have a thriving professional and personal life at the same time. Because if you're doing really, really well at work, but your personal life is a mess, you're never going to reach your professional potential. Similarly, if you are really happy at home, but your career is in shambles, you are never going to be fully happy and fulfilled at home. And so one of the most important things you can do is to really design your life in a way that maximizes your chances of success at home and at work. And a fulfilling full life really involves many slices of your life. It's not okay to say, you know what, right now I have no time for friends and no time for hobbies. It's proven time and again, science proves that we need friends, we need hobbies, we need a romance or the quest for romance. We need work, some form of a career that fulfills us. We need a community around us. Even if you're single, you need that community. and we need that focus on our health. So it might be, you know, focusing on your fitness, making sure that you're living a healthy life, that you're going to all your doctor's appointments. These are the things that are so critical when we're thinking about a full life. And the life doesn't really slow down for us. So we can't decide that we are not going to get, you know, have focus on our health for 2 years and then expect it to be intact. Right now, I have our next caller on the line. April, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how can I help you today?
Oh, I was just curious. I'm not really sure what the main subject is today, but I'm a mom. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I was wondering, how do you balance pursuing a career with being a stay-at-home mom?
Well, that's kind of a funny question, right? Because you just use the words balance having a career with a stay-at-home mom. So if you had a career, you wouldn't be a stay-at-home mom. Isn't that right?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
If you had a career, you technically wouldn't be a stay-at-home mom anymore, correct?
No, but I'm trying to have a career is, I guess, what I mean.
Okay, and what kind of career are you pursuing?
Well, I'm trying to pursue a career as a singer, and also I'm doing a blog, so like a health and wellness blog.
Okay. So one of the critical – my question for you then, because right now it's hard for you obviously to talk to me because there's a child in the background. Do you ever get time during your day that is just for you without a child?
No, not very often.
Okay. So it's – what about on the weekends?
Sometimes, yeah. I have family members who can help me.
And are you married?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, and is your husband helpful at home?
He is, but he works full time, so it's rough. Sometimes I'm juggling, you know, just pretty much doing a lot of this stuff with the kids during the day. So.
And what about at night? Is he home at night during bedtime?
Yeah, he can be. He's a musician, so he works. He has some gigs in the evening, so that it makes it challenging because he works during the day and then he gigs at night.
Oh, wow. Okay. And is that just a passion project or is that also to make a living, the music?
It's making a living, yeah.
Okay. And then what about the weekends?
Again, weekends vary because he's a musician, so he could be having a gig like at night or during the day or...
Okay. We're going to be out of time, April. Here's what I need you to do. I want you to start small. I want you to focus on next week, finding 6 hours that you carve out in the beginning of the week that you know are just going to be yours. So it might entail, if you know your husband has no gigs on Tuesday and Thursday, ask him to come home on those nights and give you 3 hours to sit at Starbucks and work on your blog. If you know that he's not working on Sunday, in advance say, I'd love it if from Sunday mornings when you don't have any work, from 9 to 12 every Sunday, I would love to work. And I'll go out of the house and work. So that's going to be the start of you creating a career for yourself.
Wow. Okay. That's really smart.
All right. Because it's too impossible to try to have a kid in the background and work on your blog. It's never going to happen. But if you have if you have those dedicated 6 hours a week just to start, you're going to see a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. And same with anything. Like I have attributes. I want to write an ebook for my blog and all kinds of stuff, and I need that space.
Dreams, and you need space to pursue them. And your husband, you should share that with him as well so that he can get on board.
Okay, definitely.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, April. And for those of you listening, have a wonderful week, everybody. Be great to yourselves and great to your kids.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.